1 Kings this morning, chapter number 19, the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. Many times read a very lengthy portion. This morning I will be reading but three verses. Book of 1 Kings 19 and verse number 1. 1 Kings 19, beginning verse number 1. The Bible reads, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you. We have the blessed privilege this morning to hold in our hands this, your inspired book. Lord, we want to thank you as well that you've preserved it for us down through the centuries, and that it is a light in our path. I pray that today that you would, Spirit of God, that you this day would illuminate this, your word, into the hearts of each and every individual here. Lord, give us a hearing ear. Give us an open heart and mind to the things of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated this morning. When we look at the man, Elijah, we find that there were two women recorded that had parts within his life. One of those we find is the widow at Zarephath, who basically took care of him for a number of months. The other we find here in verse number 1 of chapter 19, the woman by the name of Jezebel. One was a righteous woman, the other was a wicked woman. We find from the one we can learn a tremendous principle concerning the Word of God. I want you to think about it for a moment this morning. There were three great periods in our history when God gave of His Word. One of those was during the life of Moses, and God gave to us the law. We find another time was during the time of the prophets, a time when Israel had backslidden and God was pronouncing many judgments and woes upon Israel. And God worked during that time in some marvelous ways. There was another great period of time when we find the apostles upon the face of the earth. Other than creation, we also find that these were times that God gave to us the Word of God. Through these particular periods, God entrusted to us this, His Word. And I believe that God, through these times of what we might call miraculous times, God was authenticating His Word. God was giving it, and through the miracles that took place during the life of Moses, during the lives of the prophets and also the apostles, God was bringing authentication upon the Word of God. If you go back with me to chapter 17 for just a moment, the woman said to Elijah in the very last verse, we find that her child had he died. And we find that God raises him up. And notice verse number 24, "And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." We find here that this woman expressed something that I believe is a truth concerning the Word of God, and that is that God used these three miraculous times to help the folks of that time to understand, "Thus saith the Lord." It's interesting, John chapter 2, verse number 11 says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him." And it was through these times that God allowed people to see, yes, this is the Word of God. From Jezebel, and by the way, during our time, we do not need to have it substantiated by miracles. We just need to stand upon it and to know God gave it to us. I stand in this pulpit this morning, not with hands of miracle, but Lord, but to you simply upon the basis of this, His Word. It is that which is our authority. We're to preach it with that kind of authority. From Jezebel, we learn that there's always someone seeking to pull down the man of God by any means possible. We look at Nehemiah and we find that there was Sanballat and Tobiah who thought to stop him with threats upon his life. And thus we see the very same thing here in chapter number 19 as Jezebel is upset with Elijah because of the slaying of the 850 prophets of Baal. What is very interesting to me and almost difficult for me to understand is that Elijah, this great man of God, Elijah, this man who had just previously called fire out of heaven, this man of God who stood against these 850 prophets and slew them, we find this man of God, running in fear and hiding under a juniper bush. It seems almost improbable that this man would pull this kind of a stunt. It just does not make sense. And yet, I'd like for us to stop and consider a few factors as we think about Elijah as he runs from a woman. We find that after meeting with Ahab and with all that had taken place throughout that day, that certainly there had been tremendous tension. There had been this time where he had met with the prophets. He had met later then with Ahab. We find that that this man of God had been in tremendous stress and really, I believe, a man who was horrendously tired. We find that he climbed Mount Carmel. How many have ever climbed a mountain? After he climbed Mount Carmel, we find that he also, after the clouds came and the rains began to descend, God told him to run to Jezreel. He had to run 10 miles. How many have ever run 10 miles after climbing a mountain? So here's a man that has gone through some tremendous physical feat, and he is now, I believe, in a state of exhaustion. I believe we could also say he was probably emotionally drained. If you deal with people, you may be a person who doesn't necessarily need to work hard physical labor, but you may be dealing with people. Perhaps you're in what I've heard is one of the most high-stress jobs in America, in a fast food chain restaurant. And here you've got all these people who are ordering and wanting their meals instantly and demanding it this way and that way, thanks to Burger King. And you have all these who are never nice or kind. And, of course, you always have some management who are not nice or kind. And you have all of these things. And you can become very emotionally drained. Let's understand something this morning. And that is, there's a principle we need to look at. And that is Satan is excellent at hitting us at our weakest. If he can drain us, if he can tire us, if somehow he can drain us emotionally, if somehow he can get us into that weakened condition, he is more apt or more able to do his attacking. We find that certainly that was true of the Lord Jesus. It was after 40 days of not feasting but fasting that Satan came to him and brought those three temptations upon him. The Bible teaches us that Satan, as a roaring lion, stalketh about seeking whom he may devour. It's not a matter that he's looking for the strongest. He is seeking for that which is weakest. He roars to see who has the greatest fear. He is looking then for that which is weak. If you've ever watched any specials on the television with the large cats You know that they are picking out the weak. You know they're picking out the slow. They're picking out that which is the easiest to get to, that they might devour them. And that be true of the roaring lion that we call Satan. He is seeking that which is weak. Thus, for you and I, the surest defense is to have the strength of the Lord God. In Ephesians chapter 6, listen to these words. Verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong" where? "In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." The next verse says this, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." How are we going to defeat him? When we have strength, when we have the strength of the Lord, when we put on the armor of God. But He is seeking us and finding us when we are weak, if at all possible. And certainly we find that Elijah was in a weakened moment as Jezebel sends and says, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to put you down. I'm going to bury you." And Elijah runs. But I want us to notice something. Verse number 4 of our text, it says, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die." That's interesting. She was willing to help him, and now he's asking God to do it. He's discouraged. And he said, "It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." Now he prays, and notice what takes place. Verse 5, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." We find that after this exhausting day, after he runs from this woman Jezebel, that God brings to him his strength. He gives him sleep. He gives him rest. He gives him food. And may I say to you this morning that when we are down, God has this holy word, the food of God, the manna from heaven, to bring strength and nourishment to our souls that we might be able to go forward. And certainly that's what took place in the life of Elijah. Now let's go and think of what it says in James chapter 5 concerning Elijah. It says Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Do you get tired? Do you get discouraged? Do you get despondent? Are you in these kinds of things that Elijah had? Is there times when you just wish you could die? Are there times you cry out to God, "Just take me. I don't know what else to do." And it says he prayed earnestly. And he's speaking of a particular time that it might not rain. It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. But what I want you to see there is here's a man who has the same passions, the same problems that you and I go through, and yet he prayed, and we find that God worked marvelously in his life. I want to ask the question this morning. Who is most likely to get attacked in the ministry? Who is most likely to be like Elijah? We find from our text that there were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. But Elijah didn't even know who they were. They must have been in hiding. We find that there was a man named Obadiah. Though he had hid 100 prophets in a cave, we read earlier, we find also he was a man who had been working with King Ahab. Elijah, when he meets with God on Mount Horeb, there we find that Elijah says, I'm all by myself. And God says, no, there are 7,000. But it was Elijah who was attacked. It was Elijah who had Jezebel on his case. Who is most likely to get attacked in the ministry? May I suggest to you this morning, those who are very busy for the Lord. Those who are very busy for the Lord. If I've noticed one thing, the devil is not concerned about those who do nothing. If you do nothing, you pose no opposition to the devil. You're not a threat to his cause. But those who are busy for the Lord, they are a threat. Those who are nominal, those who are and they're not consistent or constant with the Lord. Listen, they're not being wanted by Satan. But here's a man that we find James saying, who prayed earnestly, a man who was in earnest, a man who was seeking to do what God wanted him to do. Who are those who are going to be pursued by the devil? Those who are very busy for the Lord. They're followers of what the book of Matthew says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto Him. They are those like the Apostle Paul. Paul, I believe everywhere he went, was under threats and under persecution. He said on one occasion that he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He meant that literally. Paul had been stoned. We find that Paul had suffered on occasion after occasion. I remember a preacher one time, he said when Paul went to town, he didn't look for the nearest hotel. He looked to see where the nearest jail was, because that's where he was going to be sooner or later. And certainly that was the truth. But Paul was a man who, everywhere he went, there were those who were after him. Why? Because he was busy for the Lord. History tells us that all the apostles, except for John, suffered martyrdom. And he was banished to the Isle of Patmos. We find that through the ages, through the years, those who stood for Christ and those who worked for Him, they have suffered, and they have suffered horrendously. There's a little book, if you can stand to read it all in one reading, good luck to you. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it tells through the ages of what has taken place with those who were busy for God and what they got as a result of that. But who's going to be persecuted? Those who are busy for the Lord. You say, I'm not persecuted. Maybe you're not busy. Maybe you're not doing what God really wants you to do. I believe also we could put in that those who get results. Here's a man of God that when he prayed, the rain stayed. When he prayed, the rains came. When he prayed, the fire descended. Here's a man that sought to reach out, and a man who sought to get accomplished the job that was before him. And those who get results, I believe they're going to find attacks in the ministry. You win a derelict to Christ. You win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changes his ways. And it causes a loss of revenue. It's going to cause some problems. Billy Sunday used to go into a town, and as he preached and people would come and get saved, the saloons would dry up simply because nobody went there any longer. And many occasions, the saloon keeper himself would get saved. But brethren, did you know that there were towns that Billy Sunday stopped at that they said, we do not want you here, keep on going. Why? Because there were people there who knew that if he came, their business was no longer going to be made. If it happens to those, understand, it will happen to us. But those who get results. The Lord Jesus healed a blind man. And what happened? There were people mad. Why? Why were they mad? Because it was on the Sabbath? No, more because it showed them up. It showed he had compassion for them. And so we see those who get results are going to be, I believe, attacked in the ministry. But I believe there's another one. And I believe it is those who seek to stand for the truth of the Word of God. The devil's going to attack you. Listen, if you believe this book this morning, he's not too happy about it. For it's this book that teaches us of salvation. It's this book that teaches the Christian how to live and gives us our sanctification. It is this book here that you and I can stand upon. And when we stand upon the truth of the Word of God, it is not going to make the devil happy. The Bible teaches me that he's a liar and the father of it. We find in the same verse that he is a murderer. And I believe the two things go to hand in hand. He seeks to murder, to eliminate those who want to tell or give forth the truth of the Word of God. You go to the job and begin to tell people about Jesus. And very likely they may go to their boss and say, "These folks are harassing me on the job." Isn't it interesting? You can talk about the weather. Isn't it interesting? You can talk about all sorts of sin subjects, and that is okay. But as you're working, by the way, don't stop working to talk about Jesus. Don't rob from your employer by doing that. But as you're working and you can talk about Him, there's going to be folks who do not like it. They're going to be upset with it. And sometimes there's going to be attacks made as a result of it. Those who stand for the truth of God, understand, you are going to have attacks in that ministry. Stephen stood for the truth of the Word of God. He proclaimed it. He preached a message to those Jewish people. He told them the truth about their sin. He told them the truth as he goes back and gives to us much in review of the Word of God. There in Acts chapter number 7. But we find that when he finished, they picked up the stones and they began to cast them at him, until he died under that heap of stones for his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand this morning that when you take that stand, there is going to be attacks upon you. It happens over and over and over again. Those who are busy for the Lord, those who are seeking to get the job done, they're going to be those who attack them. Those who get results. Those who win people to Jesus Christ. Those who love other folks and get them back into the fold of God. They are going to be attacked. The devil doesn't like that. It is not what he wants. And then when you stand upon the truth of the Word of God, as we find the life of Elijah, and as he stood and he took action against those prophets, there was this wicked woman who stood up and sought to eliminate he and his life. Yeah, there were two women. One of them saw that through the miraculous, God used him, and that he was God's man. The other woman was angered and sought to destroy him. When you give forth the truth of the Word of God, you get one or the other, or you get both. Do we recognize that when Jesus spoke, there were those who loved Him, but there were those who crucified Him? Do we realize when the great preacher Paul spoke, there were those who accepted? And we think of the vast, large array of people who got saved. But do we also understand there was a bigger population that hated him and rose up against him and sought to kill him and imprison him? It comes. Are there attacks in the ministry? There sure is. But keep on standing, amen? Keep on working. If these things do not take place, perhaps there's a reason. Perhaps we're not busy for God. Perhaps there's no threat to the devil. Perhaps what we're doing is not really making a difference in lives. It's not bringing forth results. Perhaps we're just not really standing for the truth of God's Word. For when we do these things, you write it down, it will come. But I'm going to say this. God is with us through it all. God gives us strength even when we get down. God pulls us back up. God brings strength to us. Cry out to Him. He is the great deliverer. Father, this morning, I pray, O God, You work in our hearts. Oh, Lord, I pray that You would help us to see. Lord, if we are truly living for You, working for You, God, I pray You might cause us to inspect our own lives. Lord, bless in hearts and lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.